The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." The Gospel of the Lord. Once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back. Many people muse over the following question. They ask, why doesn't God just fix all that's wrong with the world? I would bet a lot of people sitting right here in this church on this Tuesday morning muse over that very same question. Why doesn't God fix all that's wrong with the world? They see so much that's wrong in the church, or they see so much that's wrong in the world of politics, or they see so much that's wrong in their own family, and they say, why doesn't God just come fix it all? There's nothing actually wrong with asking that question. There really isn't. It's part of basic maturity in faith to wrestle with that question. But let's be sure we wrestle with it in faith, shall we? I'd like to help you try to do that today. Just give you a couple guiding principles to think about, to pray about, while musing over that question. And here's the first. God gives us the dignity of cooperating with him in doing his good work. God invites our cooperation. In fact, there are very, very few things God will do without your cooperation. God created you. He didn't ask your permission first. God redeemed you on the cross, didn't ask your permission first. But I rack my brain and I think to myself, you know, on a regular basis, apart from like miracles, there's very little else that God will do without your cooperation. You know, you stop to realize this, that Jesus waits for us to cooperate with him. And if we don't cooperate, his good work won't get done. In fact, God will not bring you to heaven. Not without your cooperation. So he says to his apostles here in the gospel, he says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers. And he says this just before he sends out his apostles to preach in his name for the very first time, the future foundations of his church. Raises the question, why did Jesus bother sending out apostles at all? Why didn't he just do it all himself? Answer, because when you love someone, you give them the dignity of cooperating with you. I was in the hospital the other day, got on the elevator. Onto the elevator comes this mom with a kid. The kid's maybe 5 years old, give or take, on the elevator. What do you think the kid asked mom when he got on the elevator? Can I push the button, right? Of course, kid pushes the button. I thought, you know, God's like the elevator. We're like the kid who pushes the button. But he still asks for us, he still invites us to cooperate. He gives us that dignity. God creates, but we develop. God gives new life, but he uses real mothers and fathers. God teaches, but he uses a church. God invites our cooperation, but he waits for us to respond. He waits for us to say, let it be done unto me according to your word, without which much good doesn't happen at all. That's the first. Here's the second reason why God doesn't fix all that's wrong with the world. It's because much that's wrong with the world is wrong in human hearts. And human hearts are set right by means of struggle, by means of trial. So you hear this mysterious first reading of Jacob wrestling with this mysterious man at the ford of the Jabbok. There's a number of traditions as to who that man was. Some say that it was an angel. But the strongest tradition was that Jacob wrestled with God himself. Before this, Jacob was known as Jacob. After this, his God changed his name to Israel. And Israel means the one who wrestled with God. Before his struggle, Jacob was a liar and a swindler and a cheat. Remember the story of Jacob swindling Esau out of his inheritance. After this trial, Jacob acts like a patriarch and the father of a great nation. God indeed wanted to change the world. He wanted to change it through Jacob. And he wanted to change Jacob by means of struggle. And that's exactly what he does with us too. If you ever meet anyone who's very virtuous, I should say very proficient in something, maybe they're a virtuoso in the violin, or maybe they're, you know, physically fit to like some world-class degree, or maybe they're a great skilled craftsman, you can be certain that they got that way by means of a life of rigorous discipline and harsh discipline. God forms us by means of trial. If you ever meet anyone who surrendered to God's will in his life, you can be certain that they met that, they got that way by means of many, many trials that they met with faith. There's a Swedish proverb, and it says that God has a worm for every bird, but he will not drop it into the nest. God would change the world through you, and he would change you by means of struggle. And if we had faith, we would meet every struggle and every trial in our lives with gratitude, because God is not finished with you yet. Let's ask for the faith to believe that and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Benedict, pray for us.